Investigations are continuing into the illegal military training camp where 95 Libyans were recently arrested. We get an update from a CEO of the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, Mr. Manabela Chauki. Welcome, sir.
Good morning and welcome. Thank you for receiving me.
What is the real issue here? Please tell us.
The real issue here comes from Section 198 of our Constitution, South African Constitution. It details what are the principles that governs our national security. And one of them is that South Africa has resolved that we do not participate in either nationally or internationally in countries where there is armed conflict. So flowing from there, there was then legislation that was crafted in South Africa, enacted called the Regulation of Foreign Military Assistance Act. That legislation was cross-referenced into the CERA Act, which then gives CERA the power to regulate any form of training that is likely to be in contravention of our constitution. So that's the real issue. So the issue of about military training is neither here nor there, because we do such a lot of training similar to that, that we call tactical training. So we do it in the bush, we do it with obstacles, we do it with everything else that is there. Even when we train anti-poaching, people who are dealing with anti-poaching activities like rangers and so on, we train them in the bush, we train them in scenarios which, you know, are in the camouflage and the obstacles and so on and so on. The main issue here is that you are not supposed to give military assistance to foreign nationals who come from a country where there is instability.
Okay. Can you give us a timeline of your activities leading up to these arrests, please, sir?
Well, our timeline, I think we acted in a matter of a day after which we received an information about the existence of the foreign nationals in that farm. Fortunately, our specialized team was in Mpumalanga doing operations at that time. We redirected them to that farm. They went to the farm and they started questioning people. They saw what they saw there. They sent the pictures back for us to make an assessment. And we beefed up the team with an investigation, additional investigation. And all other forces then ascended there to South African Police, National Defense Force, Home Affairs, and everybody else was on that farm. All these activities took place a week before the arrest took place. So we had a lot of investigation to do before we actually took a decision to do the arrest. You will recall that yesterday when I gave also the feedback, I also stated that we actually shut down the training even before the arrest took place. The training had stopped at the time. So those are the activities that we did. So the investigation is ongoing. As you might know that this is a very big matter. It's something that is impacting on our national security. And we want to make sure that we get to the bottom of it.
So what investigations have you done since the arrests, sir?
The investigations that we have done is to try to understand the activities that were taking place at the farm. Specifically at the Libyan, camp. And those are the activities that we try to unravel. Unfortunately, I cannot give details, but we keep, of the actual, information that we are in possession of. There's a whole lot of other information that needs still need to be unpacked. As you might know, people are probably wondering how did these people get to South Africa in the first place. So that part of the investigation is being done by another team, which you probably in some nearer future will be taking the country into their confidence and explaining what really happened here. And of course, this all other transactions that might have taken place leading up to this. People are asking, for instance, who is the training done for, what are these people going to do, and all sorts of things. So those are the things that will be unpacked. But insofar as us dealing with the issues that relates to the training and the accredited people, I think we are almost where we want to be. As we said yesterday, we are now issuing charges in the nearer future. In the weeks to come, we should be ready to bring them to book. We have given them 7 days to tell us why we should not suspend their licenses individually as directors as well as the business itself.
But it turns out that there were two camps, one registered and one not registered. Is that correct? If you could just clarify that for us, please, sir.
Yeah, that is correct. So these camps are in one farm. The entrance to the farm is one entrance, right? You get to the farm, when you get into the farm, there is the camp A, which is where the main business is. That's where we accredited the premises for training to take place. And from there, you then proceed outside this farm. There is another entrance that leads to a further location, which is 7.5 kilometers away from this one. And this is where, deeper into the farm, which this is where the Libyans were. And I don't think there's anyone who would have known about their existence unless if you were using some aerial kind of, a capability to surveil the place. Other than that, you wouldn't have known that there is something like that happening in that farm.
Is this the first time that an illegal military training camp was uncovered?
Well, for us, it is the first time. It could have been, I know that in the past that the police and other agencies did pounce on a few farms way back in the past. But these activities are activities that are ongoing, and we really need to educate our public, because sometimes we will mistaken, regular, ordinary training, tactical training as military training. I've seen the videos that were shown to me that are sitting on the website, for instance, of the same business where people are wearing camouflage, are being trained, they are drilling. To me, that's normal training. That is normal training that is given to anti-poaching teams, that's given to rangers, and so on. So we really need to know where the line is here. So the line would be when you start now doing this for nationals of another country or citizens of another country, it is no longer security. It is now military, because once you give it to a citizen of another country, only their government can have the soldiers. So why would you want to train an additional team of soldiers for that country? Something like that. So that's where the difference is. If South Africans are doing it, certainly there's no problem if they're within the law. Of course, we look at the curriculum that they're training, the programs that they're using. But if you start locally, start training people in a similar manner, but you start now training them how to shoot mortars, how to shoot hand grenades. And so now you've crossed the line. So that's where we need to say, you can't do this. It's not as easy as we see it.
Can you tell us how many registered security training providers are there that you have to monitor? It must be a big job.
It's almost 1,600 of them that we have to monitor. And we have 16,000 companies that are active. We have 650,000 security officers that are active out of the 2.7 million that we've registered on our database. So the total number of companies that we've registered is over 30,000. But the active ones is over 16,000. The training schools is 1,600.
Can you give us a roundup of what happens to people who contravene regulations? How do you take it further?
Well, first of all, I must say it is criminal. It's a criminal offense to contravene our regulations. Secondly, it is also a code of conduct offense. In other words, if you're a member, we can prosecute you. We have our own judicial system within CIRA to take people through those that are contravening the regulations. We can impose a fine on them. We can suspend their registrations. We can also fine up to 1 million per count. So the highest fine that we impose on a security company was 20 million rands. If you Google it, you'll find it somewhere in KZN. We for crossing the line. So that's how strict these things are. We have jailed people. I think the highest sentence I remember is about 5 years. Someone was jailed for 5 years in prison for violating our regulations. So it's quite a very serious offense to violate our regulations.
After this latest incident, do you think there is a need to intensify monitoring, or do you think the monitoring process is adequate at the moment?
I think there is a need for us to do a lot more advocacy, a lot more awareness, so that these type of activities can be flushed out because they impact on our national security. So there is definitely a need for us to be on the ground. As I said, if we give much more education, it will assist. Since this whole story broke, there's quite a number of tips that we're getting. I can tell you safely now that we've been to another farm somewhere in the country, but only to find that it is a simple tactical training that was taking place, and the South Africans have been given training. So it was not necessarily military kind of training. So it was within the law. So things like those. So, yeah.
So how would you appeal to the public to be vigilant, and what tips can you give them so that they don't inundate you now with false tips?
I think the public must know that the only people that can give military training in South Africa is the South African Defence Force, that is created in terms of Section 199 of our Constitution. They are the only people that can give military training. The rest of the other people can give military-style training, something like that. But the military-style training is actually something that is forbidden because you're not even supposed to give military training. So unless you say, I'm giving tactical training or I'm giving advanced tactical training, whatever name you want to call it, except using military-style training, it is something that South Africans must know and must be able to see.
Well, any last reflections following this incident that has made headlines across the world, sir?
I think we South Africans must understand much better what the Constitution says. From what I see, if South Africans had first read Section 198B of the Constitution, they would have understood better what we are talking about. These things impact on a lot of things. For instance, if you look at our international obligations, our participation in the United Nations, there's a lot of resolutions that have been taken that may possibly impact on, you know, things like this. If we're not enforcing, you may know now that South Africa was greylisted, a few years ago. It is because of issues like this. If we're not enforcing them, if we're not tough on those that are breaking the law, it is something that can be, negative on our country. And maybe just as a last warning for South Africans who want to engage in this type of activities, they must know that should you be found guilty, you can even have everything forfeited to the state, including the farm that you're using. If you go and look at the regulation of Foreign Military Assistance Act, it makes provision for the forfeiture of everything that is used for this type of activities.
So that farm and everything on it can be gone because of what's happened here?
It may be gone, yeah, depending on what turns out, how it turns out at the criminal level, when the people are prosecuted and what evidence is there and so on, yes.
Now, there have over the years been reports of illegal terror training camps. Obviously, these people are not going to go and register with you. Have you heard anything about these camps?
Let me take you back to a story of Equatorial Guinea and Simon Mann. I don't know if you still remember, they were arrested in Zimbabwe. That training, the preliminary training was done in South Africa, in Limpopo, elsewhere. And they flew into Zimbabwe to refuel their plane and only to be arrested. So we know about it. So people do such things. And that's why we need to be very vigilant and make sure that it doesn't happen.
Thank you. That was Mr. Manabela Chauke, the CEO of the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, speaking to BizNews following the arrest of 95 Libyans at an illegal military training camp. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.